We're in 2 Kings 11. Verse 1. 2 Kings 11, 1. When Athaliah, the mother of Ahaziah, saw that her son was dead, she rose and destroyed all the royal offspring. But Jehosheba, the daughter of King Joram, sister of Ahaziah, took Joash, the son of Ahaziah, and stole him from among the king's sons who were being put to death, and placed him and his nurse in the bedroom. So they hid him from Athaliah, and he was not put to death. So he was hidden with her in the house of the Lord 6 years, while Athaliah was reigning over the land. Now in the 7th year, Jehoiada sent and brought the captains of hundreds of the Kerites and of the guard, and brought them into the house of the Lord. Then he made a covenant with them and put them under oath in the house of the Lord, and showed them the king's son. He commanded them, saying, "This is the thing that you shall do. 1/3 of you who come in on the Sabbath and keep watch over the king's house, 1/3 also shall be at the gate, sir. And the 1/3 at the gate behind the guards shall keep watch over the house for defense. 2 parts of you, even all who go out on the Sabbath, shall also keep watch over the house of the Lord for the king. Then you shall surround the king, each with his weapons in his hand, and whoever comes within the rank shall be put to death. And be with the king when he goes out and when he comes in." So the captains of hundreds did according to all that Jehoiada the priest commanded. And each one of them took his men who were to come in on the Sabbath with those who were to go out on the Sabbath and came to Jehoiada the priest. The priest gave to the captains of hundreds the spears and shields that had been King David's, which were in the house of the Lord. The guards, each with his weapon in his hand, from the right side of the house to the left side of the house, by the altar and by the house around the king. Then he brought the king's son out and put the crown on him and gave him the testimony, and they made him king and anointed him, and they clapped their hands and said, "Long live the king." When Athaliah heard the noise of the guard and of the people, she came to the people in the house of the Lord. She looked, and behold, the king was standing by the pillar, according to the custom, with the captains and the trumpeters beside the king. And all the people of the land rejoiced and blew trumpets. Then Athaliah tore her clothes and cried, "Treason, treason!" And Jehoiada the priest commanded the captains of hundreds who were appointed over the army, and said to them, "Bring her out between the ranks, and whoever follows her out, whoever follows her, put to death with the sword." For the priest said, "Let her not be put to death in the house of the Lord." So they seized her, and when she arrived at the horse's entrance of the king's house, she was put to death there. Let's pray. Lord, we don't find this a very distasteful thing to see, really. We have so many in our world who are ruling who should not be, who are doing more harm than good, and yet with great pride and great destruction rule. And many people, Lord, are miserable because of them. And yet, Lord, our hope is in you, that you would save them, or that you would remove them and replace them with better. And as it happens here, Lord, this day was a glorious day, and one that we're thankful to see. And I pray, Lord, we would, in our own time, be looking to you for our encouragement. Lord, you can fix things even that seem like they could never be fixed. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You know I'm not a fan of roller coasters. Some of you are, I'm sure. But I've been on them, and I know how they work. And the first part's pretty easy. It gets you moving a little bit. Sometimes it'll run you in a a loop or two. I mean, they're all different. But it's not very hectic, not very scary, not really an adrenaline rush. But then you get to a place where you come to a hill in the line, and you start hearing the tick, 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 tick of a chain, and the mechanism starts pulling you up to the top of the roller coaster, the highest point generally. And there may be a number of these, but this is how it goes. Once you get up there at the top, then you start kicking over to the other side. And at that point, things get frenzied. The speed picks up, you plunge, you go down and up and around and sideways and upside down sometimes. And that's the roller coaster. From nothing, benign conditions, to wild activity in just a little bit. And that's all by design, that the roller coaster does that to give you a thrill, an adrenaline rush, to scare you, to, press you against the seat. Give you highs and lows of altitude and gravity, all that. Well, you can discern the same in theology, in the study of God, that God does this not as an amusement ride, but the Lord does the same thing. Things may go the same for years and years and years and years, and even generations. And then something breaks forth. When the Lord Jesus was born in Bethlehem, just nothing, 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 nothing. And then there's the angelic host, and all things just break open. The Lord's not compelled, like we are, by time and circumstance. The Lord does not have to strike while the iron is hot. The Lord's iron is always hot. The Lord doesn't need a good time to do something. He can make the time good for it. He doesn't rush his plans. A day with the Lord is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is a day. He is timeless and infinite. We are products of time. Time is part of the creation of this world. The Lord speaks in generations. He will say in this generation something he's going to do in four generations. He's delayed his return, our Lord Jesus, for almost 2 centuries. He plays the long game. He has a long plan. He, in the book of Esther, built up the career of Haman slowly and methodically and lifted him on high, and then had him come crashing down to the glory of God's providence. The common denominator is that judgment, the judgment of God, falls in accordance with his justice. It will always be satisfied. God's wrath and God's justice will always be satisfied, but not at the same time, and not with the same gaps between one or the other. It may be a minute between one and the other. It may be 100 years. It's just timeless in that regard. And because of this, for a time, and I think we're going through such a time, it seems, or it may seem, that the wicked have overcome the righteous judgment of God, that they're doing things that the Lord is not judging. Now, the Bible says in Romans 1 that God judges by giving people their way. You know, it's like a parent when a child keeps getting into something and the parent keeps saying, don't do it. And finally, the parent might say, well, go ahead and do it and you'll get the repercussions from it. And then you'll learn that way. Well, the Lord does that. He gives us over to our own lusts, as we see in Romans 1. And so some of the manifestations of sin today are is really the practical judgment of God upon those who are wicked. But it may seem in the bigger picture that in the world, people are getting away with murder. People have been killing babies for so long, and they consider it to be, you know, a sacrament now. And the Bible says, be sure your sin will find you out. If you think to evade the judgment of God, it's impossible to do so. Even though it seems like long periods of time pass. The Roman Empire lasted 1,000 years. They were killing Christians, persecuting Christians. It went for 1,000 years. You know, I think something like 600 before Christ and 400 after. It was a beast, really. It's what I think is pictured in Revelation for the, you know, in Daniel about that terrible beast that came. And so it just seems like God is on the sideline, but it's not really that way. And another characteristic of the wicked is that while they're being wicked and while they're not being judged for it, they think they're right. They believe that they are correct in what they have believed, in how they are living, the conclusions that they make on life, their philosophies. It's not those who are disobeying God's law that end up being the problem to them. It's the people that tell these people they're violating God's law. You see, they're not the problem. They're violating the will of God, declared in the Word of God. And who's the real bad guy? Well, the people who mention that it's wrong. Isaiah 5, verse 20 says, woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who substitute darkness for light and light for darkness, who substitute bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe to those who are wise in their own eyes and clever in their own sight. Now, Isaiah is saying that they're not as a prediction of today, although that is a description of today. It's because they were doing it then. People were calling evil good and good evil. It's exactly what's happening today. Bitter, sweet, sweet, bitter. A complete 180-degree turn from the law of God. And with the denial of absolute truth, people have become proud. They believe that their opinion is as good as anybody else's opinion. And in time, if they have influence, it becomes even like a law. And so people assert that with confidence that what they think is actually the very best way. And we have so many examples of that in our own day, that people have gotten together, they've studied, they've talked with others, they've written books, they've gotten the hive mind going, and they've concluded that we're right. We're doing great today. We're doing what we're supposed to do. Education, yeah, we're doing great in education. Government, yeah, government's great. Some we often hear that people are living in a bubble. Living in a bubble means you're divorced from reality. Among your own, you seem wise. But if you got out of the bubble, you'd be seen to be not wise at all. Let's look at the exhibit one of this. This shameful woman that we see in this chapter, Athaliah. Athaliah, we see in verse 1, when she saw that her son was dead, she took charge. She became the ruler. Athaliah was the mother of Ahaziah. Remember, Ahaziah ruled for a year. And he, well, we see in 2 Kings 8, we just recently did it. Ahaziah was 22 years old when he became king. He reigned 1 year in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Athaliah, the granddaughter of Omri. Omri was the father of Ahab, king of Israel. So Athaliah was the daughter of Ahab and Jezebel, and married the king of Judah. 2 Kings 8:29, so King Joram returned to be healed in Jezreel of the wounds which the Arameans had inflicted on Ramah when he fought against Hazael, king of Aram. Then Ahaziah, the son of Jehoram, king of Judah, went down to see the son of Ahab in Jezreel because he was sick. So you see, Ahab, the house of Ahab, was very intertwined with Ahaziah, Athaliah was of the family of Ahab. So they had intermarried basically across the tribal lines between Judah and Israel. And normally who wins that are the wicked people. When you compromise with the wicked, you end up being wicked. The wicked don't end up being righteous. But then the king was wicked already. They just fit. And so God chose Jehu, and we just finished with Jehu, to judge the house of Ahab. And so he killed a bunch. He also killed the relatives of Ahaziah of Judah. So he killed the children of Ahab, that family, and he killed 2 Kings 10, 13, and 14. Jehu met the relatives of Ahaziah, king of Judah, and said, "Who are you?" And they answered, "We're the relatives of Ahaziah. We have come down to greet the sons of the king and the sons of the queen mother." The queen mother will be Athaliah. He said, "Take them alive." So they took them alive and killed them at the pit of Beth Eked, 42 men, and he left none of them. So he killed 42 of them, of the relatives of Ahaziah, who had come to, greet them and, get along. And so Athaliah, when she saw that Ahaziah was dead, she took it upon herself to grab the throne of Judah, because she was connected to, her son. Her son was king. She took over as the king. And in order to cement her rule, she killed all the family, the sons of the king. We see that in verse 2, that Jehosheba hid one son. But in verse 1, we're told that she rose and destroyed all the royal offspring. So Athaliah, in her mind, cemented her rule because there were no more sons of David, really, of the line of David, to be king. She was not the son of David. She was not a son of David. She was not a son at all. She was not to be on the throne. That passed to the sons in the line of Judah, of the line of David. So she grabs the rule, has all the royal offspring killed. a real sweetheart. And so she reigns over the land for 6 years. Athaliah really made her parents proud. Not that they were necessarily around, but as the daughter of Ahab and Jezebel, you've got the genes to be a witch, a wicked woman. And she was. Second Kings 8:16 visits with some background. In the fifth year of Joram, the son of Ahab, king of Israel, Jehoshaphat being then the king of Judah, Jehoram, the son of Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, became king. He was 32 years old when he became king. He reigned 8 years in Jerusalem. He walked in the way of the kings of Israel, just as the house of Ahab had done, for the daughter of Ahab became his wife. That was Athaliah. And he did evil in the sight of the Lord. So you see, Joram and Ahaziah, Athaliah, produced Ahaziah. Athaliah was a king of, was a daughter of Saul. And so, and Joram was already wicked. You know, he didn't care. So they got married. We see the parallel treatment in Second Chronicles, I'll mention in a moment. But during this murder spree of the royal offspring, we're told that Jehosheba, she's called Jehoshabeath in 2 Chronicles, she hid one of the sons of Ahaziah to protect him from the murder, from the purging of the royal family. She hid him. We see in 2 Chronicles 22, verse 10. Now, when Athaliah, the mother of Ahaziah, saw that her son was dead, she rose and destroyed all the royal offspring of the house of Judah. But Jehoshabeath, the king's daughter, took Joash, the son of Ahaziah, and stole him from among the king's sons who were being put to death, and placed him and his nurse in the bedroom. So Jehoshabeath, the daughter of King Jehoram, the wife of Jehoiada the priest, for she was the sister of Ahaziah, hid him from Athaliah so that she would not put him to death. He was hidden with them in the house of God 6 years while Athaliah reigned over the land. Jehoshabeath was the wife of Jehoiada, the high priest. Jehoshabeath was the sister of Ahaziah. You don't have to know all this. But she saves Joash, also called Jehoash, and hides him from Athaliah for 6 years. And he's an infant. And obviously they're giving birth to a lot of kids. And she hides him, first in a bedroom in the house of the Lord, and finally, after 6 years, you know, he's at the point where they can bring him forth. So all of these things, of course, are thwarting the plan of Athaliah. Her goal is to kill all the royal offspring, and she does the best job she can without the fear of God, and then rules as a daughter of Ahab, or as the house of Ahab in Judah, a daughter of Jezebel and Ahab. So, what a time. Now, we have bad leadership in most parts of the world. We surely have plenty of it in this country. And it people groan under it. We're talking taxes on something else before service. This is constantly what bad leadership does. They oppress the people, and they misuse their power to gain something for themselves. And it's not about anything but themselves, or holding power, or pleasing constituents that would keep them in power. And so it happened here. We're in a terrible time here in Judah, and there were plenty of them. And Athaliah, the queen mother, has taken over the throne. I would not want to be a man alive in that time, because some man, when Athaliah took over the throne, should have knocked the snot right out of her. Nobody did or could, maybe. So she rules, and the land mourns. They groan, because she is an unfit, unqualified, wicked ruler. Jehoiada, after the time passed, says in the seventh year of Jehoiada, verse 4 of our text, Jehoiada sent and brought the captains of hundreds and of the Kerites and the guard. I'm going to go through all that. He arranged the guard of the temple, who regularly went in. And this probably not the royal guard, but the temple guard. And they came in shifts on certain Sabbaths, and they would serve, and then they would go home. There would be some to come in, some to go out. They had shifts. They did that. So Jehoiada, when the time was ripe for it, arranged for them all to stay in the temple to install King Joash or King Jehoash to the throne. So that's what this the movement of men is. Jehoiada reveals to them that there is one son of the king Ahaziah. There's one of the line still left. And so he gets an oath from them. They're going to support the king, the right king, the proper king, even though he's young, and to place him on the throne. The fact that they do it so early, figure, 7 years old, that to do it so early is another testament to the fact that things were really, really bad with Athaliah. And we would expect that. We expect that Athaliah, being the wicked person who would kill all the royal offspring, would be terrible as a ruler. She probably got her cronies around her. They protected her. But it's awful. So as soon as possible, a seven-year-old, to put him on the throne, to stop the madness of this woman. And so they do their thing that Jehoiada planned, and they got weapons from the temple. The weapons of David were there. They didn't have to carry any in and bring up any suspicion. They just got them in the temple. They had shields and spears. They were armed. They surrounded the king wherever he went until the day in which he was announced by and anointed by Jehoiada. He was given the testimony, the law. He was put in a place in the temple where the king would stand, and he was by Jehoiada anointed and declared to be the king. And when that happened, just like happens in our world when bad rulers leave, and better rulers come in, they clapped. There was a ruckus. There was rejoicing. Verse 12 said, he brought the king's son out and put the crown on him and gave him the testimony, and they made him king and anointed him, and they clapped their hands and said, long live the king. We still clap our hands for something we approve of. We're glad about. They were doing that. When Athaliah is no longer in charge. And it's just by declaration now, but it's by declaration by Jehoiada, the high priest, who has that authority. And he is the king's heir. So here comes Athaliah. She's been reigning for 6 years. She hears the noise, and she comes running. Jezebel Jr. And she runs in and to the people in the house of the Lord, and she looked, verse 14 tells us, and behold, the king was standing by the pillar according to the custom with the captains and the trumpeters before the king, and all the people of the land rejoiced and blew trumpets. I wonder if Athaliah was, you know, like a Saddam Hussein used to have votes in Iraq, and he'd get 98% of the vote. I wonder if she was like that. Well, she figured everybody loved her. It was such a blissful reign. And she was adored and supported by all of Judah. When she gets into the temple, they're clapping for the new king. They're blowing trumpets and rejoicing that they're rid of her. And, you know, she's not maybe the popular woman that she thought she was. And the people were rejoicing in the king. So what do you do if you're Athaliah? What do you do when you see that you who should not be king have been replaced by he who should be king? What do you do? This is great. The audacity of this woman. I mean, you got to love her. If for nothing else, she's so outlandishly wicked in the way she views things. It's unbelievable. She says treason, treason, and tears her clothes. It's like somebody steals your car and you go get it back, and the person that stole it, when you drive off with it, is saying, thief, thief, bring back my car. It's not your car. It's not her throne. And yet she's acting like God's will has been violated. People tore their clothes as a show of grief and mourning and outlandish behavior. Treason means that you have revolted against the rightful rule of a nation. And she was not that, and yet she's going, treason, treason. She really saw herself as the rightful ruler. And she had killed all the king's sons that she could get a hold of to rule and to protect her rule. I mean, the audacity. You have to admire, if not the wickedness, the audacity of this woman. Her spirit's been wounded now. People have spoken bad of her. They're clapping for the new king. They're blowing trumpets and rejoicing. They don't love me anymore. Well, they never loved him. But for 6 years, I'm sure it looked exactly like God had forsaken the land. Joram was evil. Ahaziah was evil. Athaliah is evil. They no doubt felt that this was something forever, and the land was ruined. There could be no happiness anymore. There was great rejoicing when she was struck down. Great rejoicing when the king was crowned. She was like a stain on the land. Verse 15, Jehoiada the priest commanded the captains of hundreds of who were appointed over the army and said to them, bring her out between the ranks, and whoever follows her, put to death with the sword. For the priest said, let her not be put to death in the house of the Lord. Don't let her blood stain the floor. It's doubly bad when you're not only wicked, but you're so wicked that they don't want your blood to splatter on the floor in the holy place. So we're told they seized her, verse 16, and when she arrived at the horse's entrance of the king's house, she was put to death there. What started off as a normal day for Athaliah, another day ruling the nation she had no business ruling, thinking highly of herself, and during the course of the day, she was slain by the horse's gate there, the horse's entrance to the king's house, and put to death. What that means to us is that, again, wicked rulers have to kiss the sun lest he be angry, and his wrath is kindled but a little. Because these people rule to fulfill a function God has for rulers. And there are very few rulers who think about this. They're not in it for God. They're not in it for the people. They're in it for themselves generally, and what they can gain or what they think. And they cover it with treason, treason. But it's not about anything but their wickedness and their avarice, their desire to rule, lust for power. And you just think that it's never going to end. Now we're to pray, and we need to continue to pray that God would save the wicked rulers in our time. What a change that would be. Whoa, what a thing to see. If the president would be saved, if a big a significant amount of Congress was saved, truly saved, not just pretending. If there was a great movement of God among those who pull the levers of power in the world, wow. Instant reformation in many places. People would be free. They wouldn't be oppressed anymore. They wouldn't be taken advantage of and used for people who are just greedy. Justice would reign. The crime would go down, and crime that happened would actually be punished. There would be the fear of God. People would seek the Lord. We pray for that. If not that, then we pray for the wicked to be removed from the land, that righteousness would reign. That's pleasing to God and good for mankind. Athaliah had 6 years she shouldn't have had. A lot of ambition. When I think of her, I think that of the most wicked character I can think of, like in The Wizard of Oz or something. The Wicked Witch of the East. That's just, it's so wicked. And yet, so entitled in her mind that she should be in power, and so horrified when anyone would rise up against her. There's a great blindness in such pride. And I guess what we should do is think of the Lord's long plan, that he sometimes sets people up just to bring them down and magnify his justice. But we still pray that there will be salvation among those who today lead in wickedness. Let's pray. Well, we do desire. We're not in positions always when we're lost. We're not in great positions of power. And we, therefore, did not have those places where we misused our opportunities to serve you in a position of government. And so, Lord, we were not out in front of the public. And our foolishness was, as lost people, was more obscure. So, Lord, we understand that they're in high places and they are much more liable to fall. But, Lord, we pray for good leaders. We pray that you would save these wicked leaders we have today in all countries who are oppressing people against your will. And I pray, Lord, you would reverse that. Make it turn to salvation. If not that, that you would remove them from power in your own way. And we pray, Lord, that your people would rest and trust in you and hope in you, even during the quiet years where Athaliah is ruling, as we await your outcome. In Jesus' name, amen.